Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, September 3rd, 2007, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Hey, it's Labor Day here in the United States, and this is the traditional end of the summer season. Sheesh, it just seems like a couple weeks ago that I was sitting right here complaining that I had to work on Memorial Day, the traditional beginning of the summer season. Where the hell does the time go? Today's podcast is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stock Room. You'll find a link to this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish wear, and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the banner that reads, Dr. Dick's Sex Toys and Props. You will enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stock Room because it's just so damn fun and easy. Yes siree, sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts and unsavory neighborhoods and leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy, because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit the Stockroom today. You'll be glad you did. I have a really delicious show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. You know, this is a free, no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Our first correspondent is Stanford. He's 25. He writes from Green Bay. I was wondering if you have any suggestions for a homemade dildo. Do you actually want to craft a dildo yourself? Or is this more a question about what might be readily available to safely bugger yourself with? If you want to make one yourself, there are several make-your-own dildo kits out there. You can find them online. They supply you with everything that you need to make a latex dildo cast of your own dong. And from that, the dildo is made. How fun! But wait, what if you are Princess Tiny Meat? Cloning your own willy will satisfy no one, no how. So unless you know someone with a more ample endowment that will lend you his hog for the mold, this is probably not the way for you to go. A trip to the supermarket might be your next best bet. People have been stuffing fruits and vegetables in every possible orifice for as long as there have been fruits and vegetables, and orifices to stuff. Bananas, zucchini, corn cobs, cucumbers, and, well, the list goes on and on. One word of caution, make sure that whatever you're popping in your pooper is long enough that you can keep hold of it while you're working your magic. You definitely don't want to let go of whatever it is and let it slip past your sphincter and lodge inside your rectum. There's nothing more embarrassing than a trip to the emergency room to have someone fish whatever it is you got in there out of your bum. If you're the least bit competent as a woodworker, you could fashion something pleasurable from a hardwood like maple or oak. The do-it-yourself craftsman will be able to make the exact size he needs and wants. He'll take pride in sanding, buffing, and curing his creation with olive oil, for example, before use. No wood-turning tools? Not to worry. A trip to the local Home Depot may be the answer. Look for the wooden dowel section. They come in many widths and lengths, And since doweling is often made of softer wood, the dildo craftsman will be able to round off the top of the dowel using a rasp or whatever with relative ease. But because the wood is soft, he'll have to seal his creation in a smooth verathane or polyurethane finish. Never, ever insert uncured or unfinished wood. Besides the danger of splinters, untreated wood is very porous and you'll never get the damn thing clean after its first use. Another word of caution, some people are allergic to various materials or polishes, so test all materials first. Here's a dildo making project just about anyone can do. Make your own Beanie Baby dildo. You will need several latex condoms, water-based lube, and a whole lot of dried beans or peas. Take a condom, fill it with dry beans or peas, and tie off the end. Coat the condom with lube and slip it into another condom and tie that one off too. If you want to be super safe, add a third condom. The beauty part of dried beans or peas is that should the condom break while you're pleasuring yourself and you lose some of the contents in your love cave, you'll be able to eliminate them with ease with your next bowel movement. And there's nothing toxic in dry beans. Hey, but what if you want something more stiff? Building a dildo out of modeling clay might be the answer. You can find this material in your local craft store. You can be very creative with shape and size. You can also flare the end of the thing so there won't be any worry of it getting past your sphincter. Before the clay dries, consider pressing dried beans into the shaft for some added texture. Once your new phallus is completely dry, you can finish it off with a polyurethane seal. However, I encourage you to use a condom over your newly created cock substitute, even with a sealed dildo like this one. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Caitlin, female, obviously, 28, Salt Lake City. She writes, "My boyfriend and I have been together for over a year. We've just started talking about having sex, even though we both took a virginity pledge through our church. We love each other very much and plan on getting married in a couple of years. If we are practically engaged, do you think having sex now would be like breaking our promise?" Listen, I'm pretty sure that the creators of all those abstinence-only and virginity pledge programs out there like to think that they're keeping kids like you safe from unforeseen consequences of having sex of any kind. And I'd probably have less of a problem with them all if they didn't have at their base some pretty raw scare tactics. Scaring people away from sex is a time-honored means of controlling the sex lives of people. If you have sex, you'll surely get a disease. If you have sex, you'll surely get pregnant. If you have sex, you'll be breaking the commandments and you'll go to hell. If you have sex, you'll be a slut, and no one will want to marry you. And my all-time favorite, if he gets the milk for free, why would he buy the cow? These sex-negative messages do nothing but frighten, intimidate, and instill guilt. They certainly don't teach people how to behave knowledgeably and responsibly, and they do absolutely nothing to prepare those who wind up honoring their pledge of abstinence for the inevitable sex life they have later in life. And that, to my mind, is criminal. Young people have a natural and healthy curiosity about their bodies and the bodies of others. Their interest in sex is often more about how human folk function than wanting to jump right in there and have themselves a fuck. In the end, stifling this natural curiosity with veiled threats and fear-mongering does very little good and a whole lot of harm. So before I respond to your question, Caitlin, I have a question for you. I hope you're not actually thinking I might help you rationalize your impending behavior. Oh, sure, honey. If you're going to marry the lug anyway, why not give him the bump now? Because I won't go there. Have the courage to make up your own mind about your bodily functions. If you're old enough to be considering sex, you're old enough to take some responsibility for your actions. Listen, if you abstain from sex out of fear, or stay a virgin under religious duress, then where's the virtue in that? It's just as bad as having sex because you fear, say, losing your boyfriend, or because you're being pressured into doing so by your peers. Neither option suggests to me that you are behaving knowledgeably and responsibly. Of course, it's always easier to decide on a course of action when one has all the information one needs to make a wise decision, and that's where I can be of some assistance. I'm not going to tell you what you ought to do, but I can offer you some timely information about human sexuality that you apparently aren't getting from your church or your community. I suppose you know that there are many sexual alternatives to full-on fucking. And if you want to remain a virgin, at least technically speaking, you might want to explore these options first. Are you and the boyfriend masturbating? Not together, I assume, but if you're not masturbating, then that's a good place for the two of you to begin. Each of you ought to be familiar with your own pleasure zones and sexual response cycle before you launch into partnered sex, of any kind. I am of the mind that the best sex is mutual sex, where the partners knowingly and without reservation gift themselves to one another. And I don't see how that's possible unless you are well acquainted with the gift, your body. I pretty much can guarantee you that the boyfriend won't know how to pleasure you, especially if he's still discovering the pleasures of his own body. And you'd be a very remarkable young woman if you understood the mysteries of male sexuality. So, if you're both unversed in the joys of human sexuality, why not discover them together? Mutual masturbation will help you appreciate the particulars and uniqueness of each of your sexual response cycles. And just think of how far ahead you'll be when you guys actually decide it's time for full-on fucking. You'll already know your bodies and how they work. Oral sex is another swell way to enjoy one another. This ought to be mutual and reciprocal. If he's unwilling to go down on you, he'd better not expect you to blow him. Even if you keep your sex to jerking and jilling off, and maybe some hot oral action, the two of you should be well acquainted with all the different means of birth control. And you should be practicing at least two methods. This is a precaution, of course, because if in the heat of the moment you kids decide to escalate things to include vaginal penetration, you'll be prepared. Always have water-based lubricants on hand, even for self-pleasuring. These lubricants work very well with latex condoms. Oil lubricants like petroleum jelly, baby oil, cooking oil can cause latex condoms to break, so stay away from them. I realize that scoring all of this stuff, birth control, rubber, lube, and what have you, is going to be a challenge for young folks like you. But don't just blow them off just because they're not readily available. This is a big part of being knowledgeable and responsible about your sexuality. If you're not prepared to go the distance in terms of preparation, you're not ready to have sex. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Nextly, we go to another corner of the globe and hear from Yuri, who's 20 and writes from Russia. I want to make love kisses on my girlfriend's vagina. But I never did this. What can I do? Love kisses and her vagina, huh? Oh, you Russians are so romantique. I think you're talking about good old-fashioned cunnilingus, right? Or as we say here in the U.S. of A, eating out at the Y, munching carpet, muff-diving, pussy-lapping, and what have you. If your girlfriend is unfamiliar with getting love kisses on her vagina as much as you are giving them, you might want to give her a heads up on what you plan to do. You see, some of our women folk are none too keen on the idea. They have it in their heads that their pussy is icky and not for oral consumption. This is very unfortunate, but it is what it is. If you think you're going to get a lot of resistance from your lady friend, you might start by kissing her on the face and neck, then to the tops of her tits, her nipples, her belly. This will give her an idea where you're heading. If you're doing this right, hopefully she'll be so busy enjoying herself that she won't protest your trip south. Proceed slowly. Make sure you're both comfortable. If you're lying down, you best be on your stomach between her legs so that your string of kisses is as effortless as possible. Have a pillow ready to shove under her hips to raise her a little bit if she's willing for you to proceed. If by the time you get to her pussy and she doesn't tell you to stop, you're home free. Basically, she's giving you tacit permission to continue. Of course, you could check in with her and ask if you can continue. But sometimes, in delicate situations like this, you may be better off keeping the conversation to a minimum. She might be fine with it if she doesn't actually have to agree to it. Women are like that sometimes. Try scooting her butt to the side of the bed where you kneel on the floor between her legs. This will give you all the access you need. And hey, don't go diving in there right away, for heaven's sakes. Take a moment or two to admire the beautiful spectacle before you. Lordy, lordy, ain't that a sight for sore eyes? Gently nuzzle, kiss, and lick the inner thighs, then the area around her vulva. With a little luck, your gal pal will be so aroused, she'll begin to guide your head into her snatch. Lick her outer lips. Run your tongue up and down them. Nibble them gently with your lips. Next, work your tongue between the outer lips and caress her smaller inner lips. Circle her vaginal opening and perhaps dart your tongue inside her cunt. I hope you know your way around a woman's genitalia, because if you don't, you'll be bumbling around down there to no great effect. And while you may get an A for effort, you might very well wreck the moment by being too aggressive on her more sensitive parts. Her clit, for example. If you don't know a clit from a hole in your head, do some research before you head south. Approach her clit very slowly and gently. Some women enjoy a tongue lashing directly on their clit. Others find direct contact too intense, even uncomfortable. Now is a good time to check in with her. Ask her for direction on how she wants you to proceed. She may prefer you to circle her clit with your tongue, avoiding direct contact. If your gal pal is unfamiliar with the kind of pleasure she is receiving, she may not know how to direct you. If that's the case, you're going to have to ask direct questions like, do you want me to do this lighter? Would you like more pressure? More of this? Less of that? Soon you'll be able to tell by your own observations, her pelvic movements, listening to her moan, if you're doing a good job. Sometimes the best communication is nonverbal. While you're down there, why not employ a couple of fingers to spread things apart? Add a little massage. Use the tip of your tongue, then the flat of your tongue, then your lips as you move around her vulva. All three feel a little different, and each provides subtly different sensations. Some chicks even love pussy raspberries, you know, like that. Come up for air from time to time. Look into her eyes. Caress and massage her boobs. Try slipping a finger or two into her mouth so she can suck on them while you're licking her. Or move into a 69 position and enjoy a little blowjob while you're eating her out. You may want to incorporate some ass play too. Insert a looped finger into her butthole. Just make sure that whatever goes in her ass doesn't come in contact with her cunt. You definitely don't want to introduce bacteria that can cause a urinary infection. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Finally, we hear from Trish. She's 22 from Galveston. I want to surprise my boyfriend with a special anniversary dinner. We've been dating for 2 whole years, and we just moved in together. I want to make something special and sexy. Got any ideas? Ah, yes. As we all know, the fastest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Or is it his zipper? Well, whatever. I'm assuming that you want this little repast to be a prelude to some hot monkey sex, right? I love the sound of that. In every culture I know, sex and food have always been intimately linked. There are a variety of foods that arouse feelings of love and that do wonders for one's romantic life, at least according to one or another culture. Everything from black beans to cabbage, from bananas and strawberries to oysters, all have been reported to stir amorous feelings in the consumer. Are they true aphrodisiacs? I don't know. Maybe it's just the combination of the loving preparation and the mutual enjoyment and feelings of being full and satisfied that are the big turn-on. People first sought aphrodisiacs as a remedy for various sexual difficulties, especially performance anxiety. Aphrodisiacs are also thought to boost both male and female potency. Remember, in ancient times, nutrition was always a big issue. Food hasn't always been as available as it is today. And of course, nothing pulls the plug on the libido like malnutrition. And hunger radically reduces fertility rates. Our forebearers believed that anything in nature that looked like or represented the male seed, such as bulbs, eggs, snails, were considered to have sexual powers. Other types of food were considered stimulating because they physically resembled genitalia. Here are a few things to consider as you plan your menu. You know, the Greeks and Romans believed that anise seed had special powers. Sucking on the seeds is said to increase your desire. Or maybe it just freshened the breath of those folks enough for them to get close enough to fuck. Asparagus has a phallic shape. It's also fun to feed your lover. Seam spears in pungent lemon dipping sauce will make for a sensuous experience. Almonds have been a symbol of fertility throughout the ages. The aroma is thought to induce passion in a female. Arugula, or rocket, has been considered an aphrodisiac since the 1st century AD. This ingredient was added to grated orchid bulbs and parsnips, and also combined with pine nuts and pistachios for a full-on erotic feast. Try an arugula salad or use it in a pasta sauce with basil, another herb that is said to stimulate sex drive and boost fertility. The Aztecs called the avocado tree the testicle tree for obvious reasons. The fruit hanging in pairs as it does resembles a man's balls. Serve this fruit, with its sensuous texture in slices with a small amount of balsamic vinegar and freshly ground pepper. Bananas have a marvelously phallic shape, as we all know, but from a more practical standpoint, bananas are rich in potassium and B vitamins necessary for sex hormone production. Aztecs referred to chocolate as the nourishment of the gods. Chocolate contains chemicals thought to affect neurotransmitters. It also contains more antioxidants than does red wine. Here's a tip, combine the two. Have a glass of Cabernet with a bit of dark chocolate for dessert. Carrots are believed to be stimulants to the male. The phallic shape has long been associated with stimulation since ancient times. And early Middle Eastern royalty used carrots as an aid in their seductions. The Book of the Arabian Nights tells a tale of the merchant who had been childless for 40 years, but was cured by a concoction that included coriander. Cilantro is also known as an appetite stimulant. Fennel, like anise, was found to be a source of natural plant estrogens. Use of fennel as an aphrodisiac dates back to the ancient Egyptians. An open fig looks like a vagina, and traditionally it is thought of as a sexual stimulant. A man breaking open a fig and eating it in front of his lover is an act of powerful eroticism. Serve fresh ripe figs in a bowl of cool water, as they do in Italy. Be sure to eat them with your fingers. The heat in garlic is said to stir sexual desire. Garlic has been used for centuries to cure everything from the common cold to heart ailments. Ginger root, raw, cooked, pickled, or crystallized, is a powerful stimulant to the circulatory system. And what is good sex if it isn't all about healthy blood flow? The Egyptians believed that honey was a cure for sterility and impotence. Medieval seducers plied their partners with mead, a fermented drink made from honey. Lovers on their honeymoon drank mead, and it was thought to sweeten the marriage. Chewing on bits of licorice root is said to enhance love and lust. It is particularly stimulating to women, so it is said. Mustard, maybe because of its bite, is believed to stimulate sexual glands and increased desire. Chinese women prize nutmeg as an aphrodisiac. In quantity, nutmeg can also produce a hallucinogenic effect. Oysters, as we all know, are legendary aphrodisiacs. They, of course, resemble a pussy, but they also are very nutritious and high in protein. Zinc is a key mineral necessary for maintaining male potency. Zinc is also reported to heighten sexual performance in both women and men. An essential good mood nutrient, it triggers the feel-good brain chemical serotonin. Pine nuts, for example, are very rich in zinc. They have been used to stimulate the libido as far back as medieval times. Pineapple is a rich source of vitamin C and is used in the homeopathic treatment for impotence. Raspberries and strawberries are perfect finger foods for hand feeding your lover. Tomatoes, known as the love apple, are considered love food, because they have great nutritional value and their acidity is considered a sexual stimulant. The scent and flavor of vanilla is believed to increase lust. Fill a tall champagne glass to the rim, add a vanilla bean for a heady, bubbly treat. And remember, eating is so much more than chewing and swallowing. So don't forget about the presentation. food that is colorful and attractive to the eye gets one in the mood. The smell of food cooking exhilarates the senses and sets in motion feelings of arousal. Good luck! Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and who doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or one of the pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better just call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my monthly ever-so-popular sex toy awareness feature on drdicksexadvice.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. You'll find a link to Dr. Dick's Stockroom right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the banner that reads, Dr. Dick's Sex Toys and Props. And don't forget to look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.